Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. Now, it's not every day that one has a golden opportunity to put his or her communication skills to the test on network television, let alone bearing their souls to millions of households around the globe on an American dating TV reality series for the 55 plus. But today, we have one such individual who recently appeared on ABC's The Golden Bachelorette.
Yes.
When I asked him for a little bit of a bio, he provided a link to ABC's website. So here it is. He's Bill Hernandez, a retired videographer, an outgoing, charismatic man who is ready to meet the one.
Yes.
The retired video producer is a self-proclaimed hopeless romantic who says, "I am Latin. Romance is in my blood." At then 68, now 69,
yes.
Bill loves his retired life, but wants to meet someone to enjoy his golden years with. He shares two daughters with his ex-wife, and they are all extremely supportive of him going on this journey and hopefully finding love again. Bill says he has tried every dating site and hasn't had any luck in the local single scene. When he isn't spending time with family, Bill loves playing guitar, public speaking, and rocking to the Beatles. He's hoping meeting Joan, the Bachelorette, will be the end of the search for his future wife. Fingers crossed. A few fun facts about Bill. Bill would love to own a coffee shop and name it Billy Beans.
That's right.
Bill is currently watching his way through the list of every Academy Award Best Picture winner. And one final fun fact, Bill has been a Toastmaster for 18 years and a proud member of Sporty Speakers and the West Beaverton Club, both in Beaverton, Oregon. And of course, his profile appears in the February 2025 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Coming to us today from Portland, Oregon, Bill Hernandez, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you so much. I felt like someone just read my eulogy. He was a good man. He was a quiet man.
It's not often I get verbal feedback while reading an introduction.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny. You know, I don't even remember filling all that out. It's all true. It's all true.
And of course, folks, I will have to let you know that Bill has signed a non-disclosure agreement, an NDA, but I am confident that we're still going to have lots to talk about.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I read it, but I signed it. It was like 50 pages.
So, Bill, to kick things off, let us know what the Golden Bachelorette is and perhaps how does it differ from the Bachelorette?
My two daughters, Gabby and Isabel, and my ex-wife, Tammy, they have all been fans of the show for 20 years. It started out, like I said, 20 years ago, but it was just younger kids, like in their 20s. And it's basically, for the Golden Bachelor, they pick 24 women from around the country. And the amount of testing that you go through to get on the show is astronomical. It's really crazy. Last year, they started thinking that, you know, old people, older. I hate the word golden, too, because I'm 69 and I feel like I'm having the best time of my life right now. And I feel great. So I just kind of hate that. The golden years. Last year, they decided, well, you know, I think older people can find love, too. So they started. I was actually interviewed to be on The Golden Bachelor, the one that Gary was on, but obviously didn't make that. Then a couple of months when that show was over, they asked me if I would be interested in being on The Golden Bachelorette. And I think it would be more fun to be on the side where you're picking the 24 women.
So in this particular case, there is one Golden Bachelorette.
One Golden Bachelorette.
And there are 24 eligible bachelors. So I was going to ask you how this opportunity came about. How did you get on ABC's radar?
Well, I tell you, the issue I had was disclosing too much of my dating life to my daughters. My youngest daughter, Isabel, unbeknownst to me, had sent in an application over COVID. They did a casting call. Well, you know, we're going to start this Golden Bachelor show. So my daughter spent a couple hours sending in an application. I didn't even know she had done that because I guess all production was closed during COVID. And then after COVID, I got a call from a producer saying, you know, you sent in this application. You're still interested. I'm like, what? I think you have the wrong number. No, we have it here. So then, you know, I was interviewed for the Golden Bachelor, like I said, but it all started with my daughter. So what I found really interesting was 24 guys there. It was all the kids that sent in applications for their dads, which I thought was actually pretty cool.
Now, Bill, what we see is the final production. Can you share a little bit about the process before, even so after the application, once you get the call, what are some of the things that happen?
Yeah. So, you know, they actually flew us out there on Father's Day. I think it was like June 16th. No, actually, in February, you start this process and you just go through an amazing amount of interviews with producers. They do a background check, cleared all the hurdles, you know.
How many interviews did you go through?
I would say hours, seriously, hours. And then when you're there, you know, you go through more interviews, which is crazy. And when I was the first one to leave the mansion and there was a producer at the bottom of the hill, I did another interview when I was done, you know.
Yeah. You've been a video producer for decades, always behind the camera. What did it feel like bearing your soul on public display?
I think the whole Toastmasters experience has really just gave me so much confidence. It really did. And, you know, I'm used to lighting and I understand how people can get when, you know, you're in front of the camera and there's lights. I remember there was one executive I interviewed where he was so nervous. I had to set up the camera, set up the lights, hit record and just leave the room because he just, you know, the fact that he would see someone there. So working in video, I worked in news for like 10, 15 years. And then, like I said, Nike at 24. So I understand what people go through. It's just, you see that red button. I would always turn the red button off because some people just are not comfortable in front of a camera. But I think it really helped. I was in this big studio. And part of the deal when I was there, I had to sing a song. And because, you know, you spend 4 days in a hotel and I brought my guitar with me and had to play in a studio full of 50 people and all these lights and cameras. And it was great. It was fun. That's what I do now. I'm a singer-songwriter and the whole Toastmasters experience has just really helped me be able to sing in front of a group and look at people and talk to them between songs. And it's just, it's been life-changing for me and definitely without a doubt helped me.
Since you already mentioned the Toastmasters experience, tell us a little bit more specifically about perhaps some of the skills that you learned at Toastmasters that helped you during that time.
I don't remember where I read this, but it was all about, it was talked about the energy that you put out. And a lot of times when people are afraid, their energy is coming toward them. They're thinking, oh, what do they think about what I'm wearing? What do they think about what I'm saying? Once you realize the energy, put it out. I'm like, what's the message I want to give to people? And that just helped me so much. Instead of thinking, you know, what do I want to tell people? Everyone's got something to say. And what I love about Toastmasters, it's just a safe place to try anything, you know. And I've just seen people change so much. And I'm in it now. I've been doing this for 18 years, and I just love seeing people get transformed by Toastmasters. And I love when people join and they embrace it. And the thing that I learned too, which was kind of what the article touched about, that you stay in it long enough, it is so much more than just public speaking and impromptu speaking and leadership. You know, friendships develop. And I love being in a room with people who all want to be better speakers and they just want to improve themselves. I just love that aspect of it.
So the environment was perfect because there you were with 23 other guys. And it was also something like a competition, maybe a speech competition. And yeah, all of a sudden you're now with this group. So that must have really been helpful then.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, there were 24 guys there and they were all really fantastic guys. There was no drama. I guess with the producers were saying with the younger people, sometimes there's issues. I think, you know, there's maybe beautiful women who are getting rejected for the first time. But one of the best parts that I love that every guy was just really chill, and like no drama at all. But, you know, you sit around a couch and then you'll be yelled at, like someone yells out a question to you. You know, you just got to talk. You know, that's what it's all about.
That's true. I guess with experience, you've been there, done that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I love the opening of the show because it's the first time that each bachelor gets to meet the bachelorette. So right. I'm actually curious, and again, part of the Toastmaster thing comes in. How did you prepare for what you were going to say? How did you decide on your opening? And I'm going to preamble this with, for those of you who have never seen the show, people come out of the limo and then they approach the bachelorette and they say something. But in this particular case, I noticed that a lot of the gentlemen had a little bit, in Toastmasters, we'll call it props.
Yeah, they had a little bit of a gimmick. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of a gimmick. So Jack came out singing. Another gentleman, Charles K, came out with a cane pretending he was falling over and he fell down.
Didn't one arm push up or something, didn't he?
Yeah. One arm push up, and then Christopher came out with prune juice. I thought that was pretty clever. So how did you prepare and how did you decide how you were going to open what you were going to say?
Well, originally, I think I told them I wanted to skydive into the mansion, but they said, I don't know, Bill, we can't put you in a plane and have you skydive onto the. I didn't really even think about a prop or anything. I remember reading about Joan's bio, and I remember reading that she loved Elton John, she loved dogs, and she loved burgers. And I thought, oh my God, we have three things right off the top. I was just going to go with that. When I was interviewed, you have to tell them everything about your life. And one of the things I was saying, you know, kept mentioning those to my ex Tammy and I are really good friends. And we've been divorced for 10 years and she's been a fan of the show since the show began. She's on a show called AM Northwest here in Oregon. And the day after the show airs, she always does the recap. She does like a 10-minute recap of what happened on the show. And the producer loved that. So when I told him, well, you know, I think I'm just going to talk to Joan about, oh, we love Elton, we love burgers, and we love dogs. And he said, well, what do you think about flying your ex out here and having her come out of the limo? And I was just so happy for her. You know, and at that point, you don't really know, man, I want to do it my way. You just kind of go with the flow, you know. Well, they know what they're doing if they think that's going to make better television. But then, but unfortunately, I got a call about a week before the show aired and said, Bill, we had to cut that out. I felt so bad for her, and she couldn't even mention it.
Oh, no.
One of the great things was, I have two daughters, and I'm pretty clueless when it comes to clothes, and you get selected for the show and they give you a list of, you know, you got to think you're going to stay there for 2 months, you know? So, you know, you have to buy suits for the rose ceremonies. And my daughters were just so much, they helped me so much. I bought like $5,000 worth of clothes.
Oh my.
I got like four pairs of linen pants I don't think I'll ever wear. So
I was going to say, well, you better get out there then.
I got to plan a trip to Mexico or something. But the whole process, you know, and then my ex, you know, she was giving me advice. And my youngest daughter said, Dad, just don't get sent home the first week. And said, oh, man, I couldn't. you kind of have to weigh that. You know, it's pretty cool to be selected, right? I mean, I don't know how many, that must be thousands of guys, applicants, but. So it's on one hand, you feel good about being selected. Then you realize, oh, man, I didn't even last. I got sent home the first night. There were six of us that got sent home the first night. And you're just kind of like, why? What happened? What did I do? Joan, please.
At least you weren't alone. It's funny. You mentioned the skydiving. David, I think it was David that came in on the horse, but then the horse ran off.
The horse ran away. None of that. I never even saw. You know, you get out of the limo, you'd say hi to Joan, then you just go into the mansion and all of a sudden, you're in this room with, you know, all these guys from around the country, and you know, you're just kind of making friends. I never saw anyone else's entrance, but there's so many production assistants. I'm sure that horse was okay. But if I ever do it again, I want a gimmick. I want some kind of gimmick.
Yeah, being 55 plus, all of the gentlemen, of course, were well seasoned. We'll call it that. But yet, a few of them admitted to being nervous. So I'm curious, were you nervous? And can you just maybe walk us through the moment when you were exiting the limo and you were approaching Joan?
Yeah, I wasn't nervous at all. I mean, the thing is, my producer, I had to rehearse what I was going to say. So you're kind of thinking, you know, you're trying to memorize this little speech, you know, but it is just the most surreal thing because you don't see the mansion. You're in this dark limo and your producer's on a headset. And then all of a sudden he's talking to all the producers outside and he goes, okay, go. And then, you know, someone opens the door, you get out, and it's just, first of all, I remember like this wet cement. Everything's wet. It's like, I don't remember it raining, you know? And there's lights everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. Then there's this beautiful woman a couple feet away from you in this golden gown, and she's blonde hair. It's just so surreal. And, there's pictures of me, like, talking to her, and I look back. I don't even remember that. At one point, I think she was holding my hand, and I don't even remember that. But I was just... because I remember saying something about, well, that was my ex. I got three or four other exes in the limo that want to come out. And she laughed about that. And we just had this minute conversation. But it's just so surreal. It really is. I'm glad I have a picture to actually kind of refresh my memory of it.
Well, of course, they cut most of that out.
That's the thing, too, man. You don't have any idea how much they're going to cut out. Because there's like, when you're there, there are hours and hours of interviews, seriously. And even when you're in the mansion, they're interviewing you. There's a little bit of an interview from me toward the end.
No, I was getting back to the first moment there. I was very impressed that you didn't actually have a gimmick. You went up to her, the part that I saw anyway, the part that they aired, was that you went up to her and you asked her about her daughter. Because I understand when she was on the Golden Bachelor, she had left the show because something came up with her daughter?
Yeah. Before you get selected on the show, they said, well, before they announce who the woman is, they asked me, well, which three women from Gary's season would you want to be considered for? And I said Joan, because of the fact that she left Gary's season. Something happened with her daughter. I can't remember exactly what, but she left the show to go home to be with her. And to me, that just showed, you know, a lot of character about how much she loved her kids. And you know, I love my kids. I'd do anything for them. So I was really impressed for him with that.
So Gary was the Bachelor. Was it the Golden Bachelor from the previous?
Yeah, that was the first season, the Golden Bachelor. Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's get back to that rose ceremony. Now, we only saw the part that was aired. The stress, I can imagine the tension in the room. So,
dude, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
What was going through your head when they got down to the last few?
Well, you know, it was 4 a.m. and someone comes in and all the guys are just kind of sprawled out on the couch and they go, okay, gentlemen, it's time for the rose ceremony. And so you march into this room, they line you up, everyone's mic'd, and then she comes in and she did a little speech, but then, you know, she picks up a rose and I swear she'll like scan the room for 2 minutes and lock eyes with you and your heart's pounding thinking she's going to call my name. But she does it. Then she picks up, she does 2 roses and then walks away. And then she comes back and does another 2. And when it came down to the last one, I remember thinking, it's just weighing that humiliation about being the first one gone and being selected. I just don't think it was meant for me. You know, I have no regrets about going through the situation, but I don't think I was meant for that. You know, so I've tried marriage, I've tried the dating apps, and I've tried reality TV. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how did you feel after that and how did you handle it? Because I know for me, I'm sure I would have been devastated and it would have been amplified by the fact that here I am in front of millions and millions of households around the world.
And so many friends were having, I couldn't go attend any viewing parties. They don't let you do that. But, all, you know, I had so many friends and I couldn't say anything. It was torture. I couldn't even say where I was going. Because I'm on a couple of nonprofit boards and I was like, I have to be gone for a couple of weeks. And you can, oh, Bill, what's wrong? You know, you really can't even say what's going on. So once it was announced that I was on the show, it was like, oh, the secret's out. Bill went on to Golden Bachelorette. I'm sorry. The question was what I was thinking when I was let go.
Yeah. How did you handle it?
I'm a spiritual guy. And I remember thinking just whatever's meant to happen. You know, I'm just going to go along with that. And I remember saying that at the interview when I was at the bottom of the hill when I left, I was just okay with it. And it just wasn't meant to be. And it's so funny because I haven't heard from them since the show ended. And all these guys, you know, like there's so many guys doing social media and there's like apparently there's going to be a cruise with Susan and this Leslie woman from The Golden Bachelor. But I got a text yesterday saying someone's going to call you today about an exciting opportunity from the show. So I don't know. Maybe something good's going to happen from it. I have no idea. But I've always thought, you know, whatever's meant to happen, I'm going to be okay with it. And it just wasn't meant for me. I was completely, completely happy with the way it turned out. And like I said, the best part for me was what happened after in my club. It all made it worth it.
Tell us about that then.
So people obviously, you know, they know I'm on the show. They don't know that I was the first one sent home. Friends had some viewing parties and, you know, obviously it's poor Bill. And then, and, you know, there's a social media post the next day from the Bachelor Nation and there's 6 guys with X's on their faces, you know, sent home. I felt like the Squid Game, you know, like, yeah, I'm still alive, by the way. I just got sent home. But they felt bad. So our president, Natalia, somehow, before I got there, she had bought a rose for everyone sitting there. And she called me up to the front and said, Bill, you know, we were thrilled to see you on the show. We're so sorry you got sent home. But we have a little something for you. So I'm standing there in the front of the room. And then all of a sudden someone gets up and they had a rose in their hand. And they go, Bill, will you accept this rose? Oh, wow. And then everyone started getting up one by one and said, Bill, will you accept this rose? And at the end, I had like 16 roses there. There's some picture I posted on my social media, but to me, it was like one of the nicest gestures anyone's ever done. It was just, it was hard not to get emotional about it, but it was just really, it just made me think. And I actually just gave a speech called More Than a Club. It made me think that Toastmasters is just so much more than, oh, I want to be a better public speaker. I want to learn impromptu speaking. I want to learn leadership. You stay in the club and like it just friendships develop. And like I said, it was like one of the most touching moments that I've ever had.
Well, people often join for one reason and they stay for another. And I call it the Toastmasters family.
Yeah, exactly. But I think when people hear about Toastmasters, they don't think about that aspect of it. And I remember doing a speech years ago about the average lifespan of a Toastmaster is only like a year and a half. And I totally understand that, but life gets in the way. And, you know, we've had a member just had a baby and we haven't seen him in a couple of months. And, you know, people move. But I just always tell people, if you just show up every week, you know, just put yourself out there. This is the safest place for you to practice public speaking. Everyone wants you to succeed. Everyone, we're giving you tips on how to be better speakers. You get evaluated. It's the safest environment you can imagine. So just go for it. And when people stick with it, it's great. I've seen so many transformations. But unfortunately, it just kind of like the average lifespan, like I said, it's just so short. But if I could get one message across, I would just say, man, just stick with it. Because it's so much more than just being a better public speaker. And I've been doing it for 18 years and I'm still always learning. I've always like the end of the day, oh man, I forgot to use the word of the day. Shoot.
Bill, you mentioned transformation and I certainly agree. And this experience that you had, how did it transform you? What's something that's now different or that's changed or something that you've learned about yourself in this process?
I think what I learned is don't be afraid to put yourself out there because you never know what's going to happen. And I remember when I retired, I was thinking, oh, what am I going to do? I just knew I loved to play music. And I think once you follow your passion, things just happen. Doors open. And now I'm on two nonprofits. I teach guitar on Wednesdays. I'm out performing. And I didn't know any of that would happen. This whole experience with the show made me realize, first of all, about the club, you know, that just, these are friends. These are my friends now. It's like you said, the Toastmasters family, which I love. And I just try to, I'm mentoring three or four people in my club. And I just try to really tell them, if you can, I know life gets in the way, but if you can just stick with this club, it'll transform you. It really will. I really just strongly believe that. You know, there are clubs that are struggling. We had 21 people at our club on Tuesday. It's like, this is just great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
This experience that you've had, if you had to share one piece of advice for someone who perhaps may get that casting call, what would it be?
I would say don't hold back, you know, and one thing I always try to tell people is that don't be afraid of being vulnerable, and because those are the real moments. And I've seen people, if they start to get emotional, they'll say, I'm sorry. But to me, no, man, don't ever say sorry. That you've just added so much to your speech. And there was one point during the interview, and I was totally unexpected when I was being asked about my ex and being close to her family. I'll never forget the moment I had to tell, she's got great brothers and I'm still really close with her brothers. We do an annual trip to this place called Lake Chelan with her dad and two brothers. And when I got divorced, I had to tell them, you know, say, you know, your sister and I are getting divorced. And her brother Dave had said, well, Bill, you're divorcing our sister, not us. And it was like, wow, man, that was just, I still remember that. And I still get a little choked up when I think about that. It was just like one of the coolest things, nicest things anyone's ever said. And I remember being interviewed and just starting to lose it a little bit, and I was okay. I let that happen. And it was just a real moment. And even, you know, I think that came up three or four times, and every time I would always get a little choked up about it. So I would say, you know, definitely don't be afraid to be vulnerable and really show your heart. And when people ask me, what should I talk about? I always say, well, what's close to your heart? What do you feel passionate about in life? Because those are the things that you'll come across as real. What do you love about life? What are the things that move you? Those are the things you talk about.
Well, Bill, that's just golden. And folks, yeah, if you've found this interview, our time with Bill, a golden experience, I encourage you to share this with your family, friends, and fellow Toastmasters. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. And folks, don't forget to check out Bill's profile, A Golden Experience. One Toastmaster Took His Communication Skills to Reality Television by Laura Mishkind in the February 2025 issue of the Toastmaster magazine.
I was just blown away, but I mentioned it before when they did a podcast introducing all the characters and they said, well, Bill belongs to two Toastmasters. I go, what is Toastmasters? I'm like, oh, well, I hope they know now.
So, if Bill, if someone is interested in getting in touch with you, perhaps they may be single. No, I'm just kidding. Or if they want to find out more about your experience, obviously there's an NDA, or perhaps they're in the Beaverton area, they want to visit your club. What's the best way for people to reach out to you?
Oh, yeah. No, they can reach out to me. Yeah, at okay. all. Yeah. Even if they're single, they could reach out, you know. Can I just give my email address? BillHernandez@comcast.net. And I'm on social media. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. I started an Instagram for my bachelor experience so they could see some photos from the show. But it's Bill Hernandez on Instagram, too. And I'm an open book. So feel free to reach out. I love talking about it.
And that's HERNANDEZ or right. Zed if you're in Canada or the UK. Bill Hernandez, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. And I wish you all the best on your future journey.
Thank you.